It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of the Drive underway in the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by Tallytown tonight. I'll be at Rickard Ridge Barbecue tomorrow from 3 to 6 telling you about the Tallytown Festival. Marcus, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
At number one, the Lady Vols softball team play today as they take on Florida State. They will be playing their game at 7 p.m. on ESPN. We were talking about it during the break. If we understand it correctly, they must beat Florida State twice to move on to the championship game between either Oklahoma or Stanford. More than likely, Oklahoma.
Yeah, you know, we could get into this later. I know, Bear, you want to talk about this, because when I tuned into that game against Oklahoma, and Ashley Rogers isn't pitching.
Yes.
He's the freshman.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, man, I don't know. This feels like kind of a loser mentality. Like,
it 100%
you're going up,
is a loser
you're going
mentality.
Up against number one, you throw your best pitcher, but they're still ticking. They're one of three teams left in this thing with an excellent chance to get into a best of three rematch series with the Sooners. So maybe she knew what she was doing, old Karen Weekly.
I still don't like it.
I didn't like it either. But we'll circle back to that. But went twice tonight against Florida State. And what do we say to the Angel of Death, Bear?
Not today.
Not today, Karen Weekly. Not today. Keep fighting.
At number two, some baseball scoreboards that we might have some interest in. Currently, Penn is leading Southern Miss 5-1 at the bottom of the fourth.
Let's go! Let's go! We'll host this super. Come on, Penn. Come on up here, Pennsylvania.
Currently, we have TCU leading Arkansas at the top of the third, 2-1.
Nice.
And in the top of the sixth, LSU is leading Oregon State 7-2.
I mean, that's just – LSU's good.
They're very good.
Yeah.
At number three Vols are hoping to make it onto the Football College Hall of Fame as they've been put onto the ballot for 2024. Josh Heupel and Vol for Life greats Willie Gault and Larry Sievers appear on the ballot. We also have some big names just in the college football world in general, as Michael Vick, Larry Fitzgerald, and Terrell Suggs are also part of that list.
Wow.
The 2024 ballot comprised of 78 players and 9 coaches from the FBS, with 101 players and 32 coaches coming from divisional ranks.
Like, out of that group, I would say just automatics would be
Vick for me.
Vick and Willie Gault.
Remember Vic in that 99 season? Like, just what a revelation he was.
Dude. And if you didn't see it.
Talk about, like, cheat code, man. I remember him. They played against Florida State in the national championship game that year. And it was like, you know, he's playing on that rug in the Superdome. And it was the closest thing to Barry Sanders. Like, Barry Sanders, younger folks don't remember him, how good he was on a bad team for a limited number of years, walked away in his prime.
He's probably the
– like, Michael Vick was like that. His ability to stop and start, change speeds without losing speed, change directions without losing speed,
yeah,
was second. And it's hard to describe how good he was.
Just crazy acceleration. And then get up to full speed within three steps.
To have the arm strength he had to go with the speed and quickness he's one of the strongest arms to ever play the game.
It was, and he made it look effortless. He'd just flick his wrist. Do you remember that?
Milton might have a stronger arm, but not by much.
I mean, and it's a similar kind of deal. Like, it looked effortless. Mm-hmm. And that ball would go about 10 feet in the air and 70 yards. He just threw ropes.
And finally, at number four, Alabama defensive back Tony Mitchell said he feared his career was over after the arrest on a drug charge. The freshman said in a video posted Sunday on social media that he knew, quote, something much bigger could have happened, saying, I didn't know if I'd be able to play football again, but I continued to work out and stay close to the Lord and those who love me unconditionally. He said he struggled to sleep at night after everything.
Well, poor him. You know, I read those quotes, and you know what I don't hear? I'm glad nobody was hurt. I'm glad my actions did not have a negative impact on anybody else. I'm glad I didn't kill somebody. I thought my career was over.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't sleep. You know, me, me, me. And somebody sent me a nasty message last week, like, oh, you don't believe in second chance? No, like, I believe in second chances just fine, and I don't think that, you know, he's only 18 years old. I think that he should – he'll eventually have a chance. You know, if justice were served, you got to go away for a while. You led police on a high-speed chase over 140 miles per hour. You had an illegal amount of marijuana in your car. You had weapons in your car. We can't have a society where that's a crime that's punishable by a slap on the wrist. There has to be significant penalties. I'm not saying lock him up and throw away the key. But you got to go away for a little while.
If it's just a few months.
If there's no deterrent for that, then you talk about a lawless society. I mean, that's where –
I mean, is it that, or is it that – he plays football at Alabama and can get away with it.
There's some of that too, but I would say the exact same thing if it were a local kid who played for Tennessee. If it's a guy who went to West High School, Tennessee Volunteer, it would be even worse to me because it's in my community. If that happened in my community, I'd say, listen.
He can't represent
us. You got to have – yeah, it's a pound of flesh, and you got to have a punishment for that too, but we got to have a deterrent to people in our community that – this type of recklessness will not stand. And if you get caught doing this, you're going away for a while to a bad place.
Yeah.
One line that he said, too, is he said, I was doing things I knew I shouldn't to try to fit in. And all I can say is, you were on the Alabama football team.
He was trying to – see, he's, like, but he's still – what he's doing, Rush just talked about it.
Yeah.
He's not taking any responsibility.
I know. It's just – it's incredibly
insane. I knew it was wrong, but –
it's insane, you know, to me to say.
It's not my fault.
I'm on Alabama's football team, something that only a certain amount of people get the opportunity to do, and I'm trying to fit in. Just go and tell people, hey, I'm on the football team. I think they'll like you.
All right. Thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Tallytown tonight. Tomorrow in Cove Lake State Park, it is a fundraiser for the Tallytown Festival we've been telling you about. Celebrating the Italian heritage of East Tennessee, and specifically La Follette. That's where the festival will be on Saturday, July 29th from 1 to 9 p.m. It's the biggest Little Italy in Tennessee, and we're going to have a darn who's who up there tomorrow. Bill Landry from the Heartland series is going to be up there talking about his new book. A guy named Arthur Bohannon, who works with Dr. Bill Bass over at the Body Farms, is going to be there talking about a book he's done. And we're going to have spaghetti dinners, Italian food samples, the whole nine yards. It's going to be unbelievable up there tomorrow. So come out and see me from 3 to 6 at Rickard Ridge Barbecue, just inside beautiful Cove Lake State Park. Look it up. And really looking forward to being back out there and telling y'all more about the Tallytown Festival coming to La Follette in late July. Our number, if you want to jump on board, 865-546-8200. A lot of Tennessee baseball talk on the drive this afternoon. We'll keep things going. Rusty is next. Good afternoon, Rusty.
Boys.
What's up?
Howdy, boys.
Hey, man.
Same old, same old. Just wanted to echo, I guess, your thoughts on the Hattiesburg versus Knoxville. Pretty hilarious. I mean, just getting to Hattiesburg is a pain in the rear end. I mean, you can't really fly in there. That's ridiculous in its own right. There's not nearly enough hotels, like Lexington, apparently. it's a no-brainer, but it really does come down to which team offered more money, which university bid more money. It was us and Southern Miss. And as far as Kendall Rogers and the guys go, no offense to those guys. They do a great job. I appreciate the heck out of them for all the baseball coverage. But every third tweet they make is, come join our website, and it's a pay website. And nothing's going to get you more clicks than saying, Tennessee, you're not going to get the regional, in our opinion. there's not going to be a whole lot of traffic if they say Hattiesburg isn't going to. But if you rile up the Vol fans and say you're not, you're going to get a bunch of clicks by doing that.
Yeah, that is – I see where you're going there. The thing I said last night on Voluntary Reaction was, look, they – you know, these are the same people that were telling us we were going to Terre Haute last week.
Right, exactly. They're that's true, too.
So they got that wrong. So I'm not
– It's all opinion.
Yeah, let's wait it out before we get all indignant about it. Now, if they end up sending us down to Hattiesburg, I mean, it's looking like Penn might make this conversation a moot point, but – if we go down there, then we can – hey, man, all you can do is go where they send you and go down there and burn their kingdom down.
I know we've brought this comparison up way too many times, but the national champion went through Hattiesburg last year. And if we have to do it again, so be it.
Ooh. Interesting. I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself here, Rusty, but there are some interesting similarities in the role Tennessee is playing to the past couple of national title winners.
Yeah. I mean, the Ole Miss one's much more accurate or much more similar. Mississippi State was actually like a top eight seed, I think, weren't they? I know they hosted the Super Regional against Notre Dame and went on to Omaha and won it all, but that Ole Miss team was the last team in the field. I mean –
Yeah, no, I mean, the same thing that happened last year that's happened this year. Somebody lost. Who was it? I want to say it was an SEC team. Florida.
Ole Miss went and beat Miami, which meant Hattiesburg, which meant Southern Miss got the host instead of Miami. And Ole Miss went there and beat them, too.
Hmm.
Yeah. Coral Gables was supposed to be where Southern Miss was going to travel to. But Miami, you know, I don't think Ole Miss lost until they got to Omaha. Now, and, of course, they only lost one in Omaha. It was a weird thing. But, hey.
They got hot at the right time.
Let's go Quakers and not even have to worry about this.
There you go.
Quakers are in trouble right now. Bad trouble.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me I'm driving.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. They've just walked in a run. It's 5-3. Bases loaded, no outs, bottom of the fourth with some Amish-looking mountain man, some crazed.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Oh, he just smoked one. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, I'm
multiple
rusty.
Multiple runs scored.
Rusty's going to wreck. Rusty's going to wreck. Oh, stop.
They're tied up.
It's okay. All right.
No, it just looks like it's
just
one.
That's great news. Keep us posted. I'll let you boys go. Y'all have
Thank
a good
you,
one.
Rusty. Booking.com, Hattiesburg Hotels. Let's see.
They only scored one. It's okay.
They only got one in on that?
Yeah.
What they
Kid
got?
Had a hell of a throw from
They got some
right.
elephant running on second base?
I think so. I didn't realize Southern Miss was just full of Amish and mountain men. Like, I mean, they're all look like that.
All these college baseball players now – want there's a look they're going for, I guess, as a
there's several
guy who's sliding comfortably into middle life, like it's hard for me to identify, but
I mean you got your mullet guys, you got your guys that like to adopt like the 70s look, the
mustache look,
yeah.
The thin mustache is
you
prevalent.
You got some guys that go full on mountain man,
playoff beards are being grown,
yeah. All kinds of different, yeah.
Lots of different looks.
The greasy mullet look is one of my favorites.
865-546-8200 as Southern Miss pulls to within one.
Base is still loaded.
No outs.
Man, no outs.
Who's next, Bear?
Big Josh.
Let's get Big Josh in here. Big Josh, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Russell?
Not much, man. How you doing?
All right. I kind of found myself getting nervous hearing you talk about this Penn Southern Miss game. I want to return to Knoxville. I want to see Lindsey Nelson wide open again one more time this year.
It may be. I mean, everybody's basing all this off of You know, I mean, there is some
off a
some,
Kendall a cryptic Kendall Rogers.
Yeah,
tweet.
And there's something to is, be said for what yeah, Rusty right. was talking
and
about.
And all he said was Southern Miss would have a great case. He didn't say they were going to get it, or I'm hearing they're going to get it. He was just stating, and they do. Like they won a lot of games. They have a really good record, and they're a fine team. But we play in the SEC. Yeah. Okay, well, like our schedule true. Was much more difficult than theirs.
Well, anyway, how damn epic was that Zane Denton home run, Russell? I mean, they were standing up, clapping. It was over.
It was over,
they
man.
They were waiting on strike three, Russell.
Well,
and he not only sneaked one over the fence, he hit it out of the whole damn stadium. I mean.
Have you guys seen that that video on Twitter, Big Josh, where it's shot from the stands, but like it's like 30-second clip of the crowd noise.
Oh, I need to see that. Where is
that? And then he hit it. It's on Twitter. I'll find it and I'll send it to both of you guys. But the crowd just goes, "Oh,
gut punch."
Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's one of my most memorable baseball games watching. I would say, of course, a Wright State game, but. And it even compares with like Sid Breen game and all that, Russell. I mean, it's up there.
It is,
that
man.
That game was epic.
Got to finish and, the job. Got to get to Omaha because the truth is, Big Josh, the further you go, the more epic that moment becomes.
Yeah, the more unforgettable and the more the names Zane Denton and Chase Burns. And, you know what? Halverson coming in there and striking out Grice right off. Bat just out of the pen. I mean, talk about clutch. I mean, just all of them. They played their ass off, man. That was a tough game to win. That kid pitched his tail off. That Grice, I mean, he's a man.
One pitch away.
I mean, he looked like he was a good foot taller than anybody out there. I mean,
oh, yeah. He's a stud. He's a pro.
I just kept saying, get him out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing that was frustrating me was just all the first pitch swinging, and it's just like, guys, if we just work him and make him earn these outs, we could have had him out in the seventh. And I'm not complaining, man.
Maui and Inslee sure need to be more selective.
He's going up there hacking.
Work some at-bats a little deeper in the count.
Well,
I mean,
Blake Burke, too. I mean, it was nice to see him have a few hits yesterday, and maybe he's starting to come around a little bit. But, I mean, he still looks like there's a major hole in his bat up there to me.
I'll tell you one I really I felt like he was trying too hard to be a leader. Simo early in the year, like he was trying to be something he wasn't. But he's turned into that, you know, what? He's the dog on this team right now.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't going to be stopped. It was one of the most damn enjoyable baseball weekends I've ever experienced, Russell. Absolutely unbelievable. So much fun.
Yeah, man.
Keep it rolling.
Let's do it again. Do it again this week. All right, thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board with us this afternoon, 546-8200. A quick timeout. We're back with more right after this. All right. Couple of wild stuff on the docket. Not a lot of sports stuff, but doesn't stop us from delving into the legal world from time to time here. After all, we do have a lawyer on the show. Fair.
Get my legal pad out, Russ. What do we got?
Briefcase open here. Prince Harry's about to take his battle with the media to a new stage as he becomes the first high-ranking member of the British royal family in 130 years to appear as a witness in court.
Yes. Judge is not happy with Prince Harry, though.
He'll take the stand tomorrow in London's High Court to give evidence in his case against the publishers of Britain's Daily Mirror tabloid newspaper. The Prince and others have accused Mirror Group newspapers of obtaining information about them illegally through phone hacking and other unlawful methods. Mirror Group has said it used documents, public statements, and sources to legally report on the prints. So, yeah, this is... I don't ever remember this happening because apparently it hasn't happened in 130 years, but a high-ranking, well-known member of the legal of the royal family is about to take the stand in public court and be deposed and all that stuff. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I saw this morning, but I also saw, like, he didn't show up for the first day of the of court. I guess that would have been today since it's Monday. I'm still
Yeah, I thought
off.
This was supposed to happen today, but evidently it's going down tomorrow.
He didn't show up, and what I had heard was that the judge in the matter was...
admonished him.
Yeah.
That's got to...
I think they still wear the wigs over there, the judges do.
That's got to be a good feeling to be able to admonish a prince. Now, now, Prince Harry, I find your behavior to be very disturbing.
Must not thought much of your case. Didn't even bother to show up.
If they were doing this, if there's like a news gathering organization over there that's illegally tapping
oh,
into phone stuff.
They have.
They should, I mean, heads should roll. People should go to jail, prison.
That's a weird rabbit hole to go down. Like videos about like what the British tabloids, some of the stuff they do. They're awful.
But you know what, man? I used to think that about... I still do. I mean, it's bad. But I remember, like, not too long ago, like maybe 10 years, 15 years, thinking, well, at least we don't have that over here. You know, at least we still have some trustworthy news sources.
Oh, no.
And now it's just all gone to crap. We do the exact same thing.
It's all tabloid. But they go, I mean, like, they were wiretapping phones and...
I just subscribed to this new service. I'll let you know how it goes. I saw him on Twitter, and I subscribed. It's like a newsletter. It's called the 1440 Daily Digest. You heard of that?
No, that's kind of a weird...
Yeah, I don't know what 1440 is, but they like their whole thing is it's unbiased news sent to your... mailbox every morning. You just read it and there's no sort of slant to it. I went through it today. It was, you know, it's quick. You kind of scan it, and that's where I found out about the Prince Harry thing.
Okay.
So I'll let you know if I keep up with that. I feel like I find one of these every year. I'm like, I start reading it or listening to it. I'm like, yeah, that's good. And then like it slowly starts to go either hard left or hard right and pisses me off. I just stop. So one day in, 1440, good. I'll let you know if that...
Here in a couple of weeks, what's that thing you're talking about? I don't know.
Yeah, that, remember the 1440? Oh, yeah, that turned out to be a big time suck.
Yeah, I don't know.
Meanwhile, a Washington State woman with tuberculosis.
TB, she's a lunger.
She's been arrested and jailed after refusing to isolate.
Yeah.
The unidentified Tacoma woman, who was referred to only as VN in court documents, was taken to the Pierce County Jail and is being kept in a room specifically equipped for isolation, testing, and treatment. Health Department statement says, we are hopeful she'll choose to get life-saving treatment she needs to treat her tuberculosis. That's one of those diseases. It's not erratic. Like, you could still get that, but I don't know. Is that a virus? Or, like, how do you get tuberculosis?
I don't know. I just remember they used to tell you had to get the TB test.
All I know about tuberculosis, I learned on Tombstone.
Oh, no. I remember having TB. Like, when you were a kid, you had to get a TB test every so often.
Was that, the little thing on your arm? The little prick thing?
Yeah, but it didn't really hurt. It just kind of scratched you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they'd check and see if you had a reaction to it.
Yeah.
My mom, I remember when I was little, my mom had a really bad reaction one time. Like, it turned out to be a false positive, thank God. But I remember, like, that's when I figured out tuberculosis. It's
not good.
It's pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, I haven't had that. That jogs a memory, man. I remember that. I haven't had that since I was a wee lad.
Yeah. They do that when you guys were kids?
They don't even know what we're talking about.
You have no idea? You got to turn on your mic.
Yeah.
You're going to talk with your
Yeah, with your messed up voice.
I said it sounds like an allergy test. Like,
yeah. See, it's kind of what it, yeah. I know you're doing it without the mic.
I didn't want to talk on air, so that's why I
might as well.
Turn it off.
At this point. I mean, if you're going to talk.
It said the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department sees about 20 cases of active tuberculosis every year.
I thought it just about, I mean, I guess.
So, I mean, that's for like the Seattle area, so it must be fairly common. They see 20 a year in Seattle. It's probably higher than that in LA, New York, Chicago.
Homeless and
tuberculosis is an airborne disease caused by bacteria that primarily affects the lungs.
I know it's really hard to get rid of. Can they get rid of it? Can you get over it? Used to be they'd lock you up in the sanitarium.
It's like sanitarium's like half hospital, half loony bin, right?
Sort of, yeah.
I hear sanitarium, I think guys in white
like
suits.
Yeah.
And there's like a guy in the corner rocking in the fetal position.
Talking to himself rapidly.
Yeah. Old guy who hasn't shaved in 20 years, sitting in a wheelchair, just staring off into the distance.
Has hair growing out his ears.
Urine dripping from his wheelchair. I like to paint a word picture for the audience listening at home. And finally, we have a candidate for worst person in the world. Kanawha County, West Virginia. Investigators serving an eviction notice reportedly found a body inside West Virginia home. News release, the sheriff's office says its legal process division, along with Bell Police Department officers, went to a house to serve an eviction notice due to suspicious signs coming from inside the home. It appeared no one was home. The eviction notice was for Peggy Johnson. Officers made their way into the house and found a body that was decomposing.
Ooh.
According to the sheriff's office, they soon got out of the house, called for assistance. Body was so badly decomposed, investigators could not figure out what the gender was. Investigators had to send the body for an autopsy. Once investigators got a search warrant for the house, they went inside and found a man hiding in the closet. He was later identified as 41-year-old Michael Robert Johnson. He was detained, reportedly told investigators that he was living with his mother. He said he had been living with her for about 2 to 3 years and said that she died in December of 2022. He had been collecting her Social Security benefits. His dead mom in the house for 6 months, collecting her $1,000 a month. And that's the kind of son you want, right?
You gotta warn me when you're gonna go.
A little macabre? I mean, to be fair, at least he's not gone full Norman Bates, talking to his mom, killing people, going to the hotel. Yes. Chloe got that reference. She's seen Psycho. How about that?
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's a
she's
classic.
The macabre doesn't bother you?
Does it look like it bothers her? No, she's an adult bear. She watches movies. Doesn't.
Yeah,
you mean
I'm a big horror person.
You are a big horror
yeah.
person? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hate scary movies.
They're the best.
You never seen Psycho?
When I was a kid, why do you think I hate scary movies?
I saw scary movies when I was a kid. Scared the crap out of me.
Friday the 13th?
I don't watch scary movies anymore. Like, I will. It's just like, I feel the same about scary movies and horror movies the way I feel about superhero movies. I know what's going to happen. I know the plot, the rhythm to a story. I know generally what's going to happen. So I don't need to see, like, if it's a slasher film, I don't need to see that because I feel like I know what's going to happen. Now, there are some, like, the last one I watched that was kind of scary that was good was The Menu with Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was
fantastic. Really good. And didn't really see where it was going, but it had a couple of things that are, like, you know, traditional, like, you've got a group and this guy's, like, the different characters, but it was unique, but.
Yeah, just
Psycho's a classic. You seen Psycho? Have you seen the black and white Psycho?
Yeah. So what's the scariest movie you guys have ever seen?
Probably The Exorcist.
The devil stuff's scary, isn't it?
I would say I recently watched Hereditary, and I couldn't sleep.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Very well.
Have you ever seen Audition?
It's all right. So Hereditary is like that's where the woman's daughter's possessed or something, right?
Well, it's like her mom dies. It's like a family, and the mothers of the family, her mom dies. And she doesn't know a lot about her mom's life and all this stuff. And basically, yeah, there's like weird stuff happens. I didn't like it too much. That's not my type of horror. I like more like Stephen King, like The Shining.
But you said
stuff.
It kept you up at night.
It did. I didn't like it though because it was too scary.
Isn't that the point?
Not my type of scary. Yeah, like, it's more psychological, I guess.
You just want to see some blood and guts, some meatheads get murdered.
I like creepiness, but not like twisted. I don't want to spoil Hereditary, but something that happens in it really disturbed me.
Messes with your soul.
Tell me at the break. I'll tell you a movie that scared me was just creepy. Did you ever see The Ninth Gate? Is it called The Ninth Gate? With Johnny Depp.
I haven't seen that one. I'd just like to point out that he wanted to know the movie that we thought was the scariest. And for whatever reason, yours, he was like, it was all right.
I didn't make it 5 minutes into that, but that's that crazy movie that Rob Zombie said was the most disturbing film he'd ever seen.
I've heard the...
you really watched it?
Yeah. There wasn't much payoff. I mean, it was more like gross, like gag out stuff than, like, I don't know. The stuff with the devil, the exorcist, you got like the priest in there and her head spinning around. There's puke everywhere. She's walking down the stairs like with her arms all out of joint backwards. Like that's the stuff that shakes me.
The first Saw movie was
rattles me.
I don't like the what do you call that? Is that grime?
Gore? Yeah. Grime, well, like from like two on, it was, in my opinion, certain ones were okay, but the first one. Like, I still remember that final scene where, like, the lights are off and there's just this green glow from outside the hall and he's about to shut the door on him for the rest of his life. It's like, it's just, that kept me up at night.
Some others
taking a dark turn.
I mean, The Shining was absolutely terrifying.
Think so?
Yeah.
The Shining?
Was that scary?
It's more like unsettling, I would say. That's boy, I like it though. I like the unsettling. I don't know. It's creepy. It's such a slow build up.
I would never be able to do, I don't care how much money you pay me. I could not be in a giant hotel like that with two other people.
It's got that Hitchcockian thing where there's not a lot of action. Like, oh my god, look at all the, but there's
so many rooms.
Well, it's just a general creepiness. Like that scene where he's in the bathroom and the butler's trying to get the stuff off of his jacket, and he's they're having this bizarre conversation, and it's just slow and it's just weird, man. You're like, I don't know what it is, but I feel so uncomfortable right now. It's good stuff. Polish Joe is next. What's up, PJ?
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hey, as we were talking about movies, Penn got out of that bases loaded, no out jam.
They were in a horror movie there for a second, weren't they? They were in the torture chamber.
They got out of it like Burns did. So we still have hope.
Long game.
Everybody's acting like it's a foregone conclusion that if Southern Miss wins, that they're going to get to host the Super.
Yeah, I think it's still
all based off one guy on Twitter. I'd be stunned if we aren't hosting it.
They're coming to Knoxville, guys. We have too big of an atmosphere and fan base, and they want money, you know. But talking about that game, that Clemson game, guys, I haven't had emotions come out of me in baseball since game 7 of the Cubs Indians World Series, man. That was gut wrenching, but what a game.
What a game.
What a game.
An emotional roller coaster. And what, there were a couple of points where I caught myself just briefly saying oh my God, would somebody just win this thing? And then I caught myself no, as long as it takes. We'll stay here all night. We'll go 20 innings if we have to. Just want the good guys to win. But there was also a part of me who was I'm kind of ready to go to bed now.
I think when we get when we go to Omaha and whatever happens from there is just going to be so much fun. I can't wait. But when we go back to Omaha, what I'm going to come back to was when we were up in the ninth with two outs and Moore, I'm trying to remember, but I think Moore got a base hit and then Burke came up and got a base hit. And the thing that shocked me was probably about, I don't know, a month and a half ago, even though we were still down two runs, they would have been trying to hit solo home runs for eight-run home runs, you know? But they got on base, both of them, and it happened. You know what I mean? But when it all moves on, we go to Omaha, I'm going to look back at those two at-bats because usually, you know, they could have been pouting. They could have just been out for themselves. But Moore got on base what he needed to do, and Burke did too.
Yeah.
You know, if they're swinging for the fences, you know, playing – you know, my ball instead of team ball, we don't win that game. We don't even have a chance. So that's what I'm going to look back to. The other thing tonight, guys, it's a great night because this softball game has really intrigued me. Fast pace. We got a chance to play two games tonight.
Bear, are you down for a softball doubleheader this evening?
I mean, I'll keep track of it, but
wow, that doesn't sound like a guy that's all into me, Polis Joe.
I'm still.
You'll keep track of it.
Yeah,
track of it.
I'm fairly upset with
Tennessee's playing in the College World Series for a national championship. You'll keep track of it.
7 o'clock, and then when we win that one, 9:30, man. That makes my night.
I'm with you, Polis Joe. Put on a pot of coffee. Go Big Orange. I'm watching the ball games.
So, you know how this ESPN Plus nonsense, I couldn't even watch the last game, but as I got home, I'm trying to look for that Penn game, and I made the mistake of hitting the Paul Feinbaum show, and this was really intriguing because I only listened for like 2 minutes, but this Alabama woman fan called in, and she was screaming to Feinbaum about how Georgia is fraudulent and the SEC always, they want them to win again because they never have to play anybody. And I thought that was classic that now we're listening to Alabama fans whining about someone else's schedule. They're starting to go down, guys.
Yeah.
This Alabama thing is we're getting close to the end. I really believe that.
That guy can't live forever, man. And he's irreplaceable. Nick Saban is absolutely irreplaceable. You know, whoever has that, nobody's going to be able to live up to that. And it's going to be really hard on the next person because they're going to be under a microscope. And I predict that whoever succeeds Nick Saban as Alabama's head coach will be gone within 3 years. Because the expectations are just going to be too high, unmeetable, and I think it's going to be like when Bear retired. Right? They're going to go through a revolving door of guys, and some of them will have some success, but it will never be good enough.
How great would that be if Dabo was the one that flamed out and ended it? That would be great. But my last point, guys, you know, and then we're off the – a great night and a great week here, but we're talking about the greatest. This is a great spot to be Tennessee Athletics, and we're all rolling. Can you imagine how great it would be if we had a basketball coach that could win in the postseason?
You just had to. Thank you for the call. You couldn't leave it alone. Couldn't just have a nice, comfortable phone call.
It's one of those things, you know, sometimes I feel like you just want to be happy. You want to have an opportunity.
Some people don't.
And some people just don't.
Some people don't want to be happy. Some people prefer to be miserable. Sad.
He's definitely one of them.
Sad is what it is.
Pathetic.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Trouble brewing for Penn.
They got a runner on first and third.
Any outs?
I did not notice that part, but it's still tied 5-5.
LSU's got Oregon State over a barrel right now, 12-4. Looks like LSU is going to advance. They would host potentially Kentucky. So we'll see what comes to fruition there. Arkansas's up 4-2 on TCU, bottom of the fifth. TCU batting. And it is Southern Miss now up 8-5.
Yeah, Penn's in trouble. 8-5.
Yeah, we.
Oh,
yeah.
I was a little ahead of you.
He was a little ahead of us somehow.
I can see the future. The future.
So,
all right, well,
if I understand,
that changes things a little bit.
If I understand correctly, with Arkansas having one loss, they have to beat TCU twice to
yeah.
move on. Okay.
What was the score on that one? I missed that one.
Was it 4-2?
Yeah.
Arkansas is winning?
Yeah, so they would have to beat them twice.
They'd play Indiana State if they move on.
What an easy draw for them.
Do what now?
Arkansas. If Arkansas wins, who do they draw in the Super?
They would draw Indiana State.
Joke. Ah, the Sycamores. Terre Haute.
Yeah.
Terre Haute. Go up there, Terre Haute.
The Sycamores.
I don't know. I feel like Oregon might have a little bit of a easier draw right now because they got Oral Roberts. Long pause.
Oral Roberts, like, how did they get good in football, basketball, and baseball?
I don't know.
That's in Tulsa, right?
Yeah, they had
a religious school, correct?
Yeah,
they beat Oklahoma State, then Washington, and then DBU. They went undefeated in there.
Dallas Baptist. That's what I like college
DBU.
Baseball because you still get some of these teams that kind of squeak through these like
Dallas Baptist like, University.
What are they doing here?
They won.
I pull for those teams.
I do too. DBU had a pretty good team.
DBU.
They got hot. Every once in a while, you'll see a guy on a team like that that'll end up in the majors too. Not often, but.
Jamie is up next. Well, that's what happens. Is like they get a guy that squeaked through the cracks and then just like carries them.
Yeah.
They'll have a Todd Helton-like guy on first base or something that can pitch a little, or a great shortstop like that Campbell team last year.
Yeah, the problem now is if somebody flashes like that, one of the big fish is going to
swallow him up.
Yeah.
Jamie, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
So, about the scary movies, y'all piqued my interest. Chloe, I went and saw Hereditary in the theater with some friends, and then my niece wanted to go see it, so I took her, and so I got to kind of watch her reactions to some of the scenes that I knew was going to get her. And it was there was a lot of gasping in a couple of scenes in that movie where you gasp. That one threw me for a loop. And, everybody says The Exorcist for us, but have you ever seen the third one with George C. Scott?
I don't think so. I watched some of the second one. It just, like, didn't do it for me. Third one,
yeah,
pretty good?
The second one's awful. Yeah, the third one's my favorite. Like I said, it's got George C. Scott in it, and it's kind of back – it's a little bit more, demonic-related. But, I mean, it's well done. Like I say, I don't know. I'm a big George C. Scott fan anyway. So, he did The Changeling back in the early 70s, I think, or I don't know if y'all – seen any of that work. Salem's Lot. Oh, I dig that one.
That was I've seen like a trailer for a remake of that.
I've heard the same thing.
Now that's one that I will probably go see and be a miracle if I make it through it. That looks absolutely terrifying.
That's remember when It 2 came out and we turned out the lights and forced Bear to watch the trailer, just the trailer, in here live on the air. Terrifying that was.
It's scary.
I've
watched that. The only weird – the one part of that was Bev and the old lady, that scene.
That's very scary.
I like to call it, it was very unsettling.
Yes.
Everything just kind of slipped a little bit when you, it's just like, what
I saw that in the movie theaters. Part one and part two.
But that whole scene in the book, as you're reading it, is really scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Movie's so good they wrote a book about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've always been a horror movie guy, man. There's a lot of awful ones out there. You sent through about 10 awful ones to find one that's any good. But those are some of my faves. Chloe, you got anything else? Throw it a guy that hadn't seen. I haven't seen The Menu. When y'all were talking about that, it's got piqued my interest. I think I'm gonna put that on the list.
Yeah, I need to watch that one as well. My parents have seen that one. I don't really know. I couldn't watch Hereditary in theaters. I couldn't have done that. Anything that guy's directed, I just know to stay away from it because it actually truly scares me.
Yeah, I went and saw Midsommar and was kind of disappointed in it, but I kind of was expecting it to be on the level of Hereditary. But anyway, guys, before I get into my baseball call, I noticed Big John and Cody were out today, so I was listening to some more Boston stuff. But Russ, more compliments to you and Fan Run. Let me just give you a little snippet. They were talking about the Gong Show. You remember the Gong Show where they had the buzzer?
I've never seen it, but I've heard that's good.
Yeah, the Gong Show with the buzzer. I was like, guys, it's not. There's no buzzer in the Gong Show. There's a gong in it. It's no buzzer. I don't know. These things irk me. I know that's beneath y'all, but y'all put on such a good product. And you know me, man. If I didn't feel that way, I wouldn't say it. But guys, I didn't get to watch the Clemson game. It never ceases to amaze me that the first round game I can watch on ESPN2, and then the second round game steps back to where you have to pay for it. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So here I am out in Powell, sitting out in the parking lot in the truck, eating and listening to the game on the radio. And one thing that's always bugged me growing up around here is people that wear orange on game days and have no idea we're playing. they've got their gear on. I'm like, oh, you a fan? Yeah, well, why aren't you listening to the game? But there was a lot of guys that were kind of listening to it, and it was a makeshift little watch party there, or listen party, just kind of sitting in the cars listening to it. And, man, that was some John Wilkinson legendary stuff. And I'll never write off a Tony B's team, man. I really thought it was over a couple times, and it wasn't. But I'm looking forward to. I hope it's at Lindsey Nelson, man, because this town really showed during the football season what kind of electric atmosphere we can have here. For big time events. So I would love this fan base to get to experience. I won't be able to go over there. I don't have hundreds of dollars for a ticket, but I'll definitely watch it on TV. But when I do, I like to watch the fans, man. They really get into it. And they've been underserved for so long, and I just love it for them. And the experiences on the way out. Young Marcus, what do you think about Sam Cassell being on our coaching staff? And do you think we'll get Rondo? And I'll get out of y'all's way. Y'all hang in there.
First of all, keep Rondo off my court. I don't want
to play. Is he still playing?
I don't know.
No, Rajon looks like an old man now.
Even if it was a coach, I would say.
Sam Cassell is coaching now?
Part of my top five. He's an
assistant. It's not your fault. Oh, we stole your thunder.
No, it's not your
fault. The big Sam Cassell note.
I was really going to swing for the fences on that one.
Yeah, you were probably going to strike out.
Sam Cassell, yeah, he's been hired as an assistant.
About that? He was an odd-looking dude.
Yeah, he was.
Still is.
Hell, he hasn't gotten...
He looks plays more basketball. With age.
He just looks the same, but just a little older.
Good guard back in the day. Could shoot it a little.
Yeah.
At hour number three of The Drive, coming up after a quick timeout. More of your phone calls on the way. Stay with us. It's Fan Run Radio.